Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. All across the heartland, teachers are rising up. It started in West Virginia, where a long but successful teacher strike finally led to a 5% increase in teacher salaries. It moved to Kentucky and on to Oklahoma, where it was also successful after a 9-day strike. We'll be talking in just a minute with Mrs. Anna Graves, an English teacher from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It's moving on to Arizona and Colorado. And coming up soon will be my very special guest, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten. First, I want to welcome Ms. Graves to the show. Ms. Graven, to the show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. How long have you been a teacher in Oklahoma City?
In Oklahoma City, this is my 12th year.
12th year. And you teach English?
I do.
In high school or grammar school?
I teach junior English.
Junior English. That's like, what, 7th, 8th grader, something like that?
No, juniors, your senior year is the next year, so 11th grade.
11th grade, junior in high school.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what's that, literature or?
It's American Lit. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we also do lots of writing, and it's kind of it's your one-stop shop. We do literature, we do writing, analysis of literature, and then also preparing them for their SATs.
And you've been doing pretty much this for 12 years, or have you done different things in the classroom?
I started out at a middle school still in Oklahoma, and Guthrie, Oklahoma. It's a little more rural town, and I did 4 years of teaching there, and then most of everything else has been in Oklahoma City. I also taught one year in Edmond, which is not too far from Oklahoma City. It's kind of a suburban.
Are you from Oklahoma? Are you born there? Is that where your family's from?
Yes. I grew up in Kingfisher, which is a small farming community, and have lived in Oklahoma my entire life.
And what led you to want to be a teacher? Is that something you always wanted to do?
Well, I think when I think back at myself as a kid, I always think was drawn to teaching. But definitely it would be the educators that I had in the past. They're really good ones that made me think, I'd like to do that. And, I changed my major a couple of times in college. I wasn't sure right when I came out of high school that teaching was what I wanted to do, just because I think like a lot of freshmen, you're not sure what you want to be when you grow up. But
sure.
I just kept going back to being a teacher.
Let me ask you this. When you decided to go into teaching, you knew it wasn't a high-paying profession.
Absolutely. It's funny that you say that, because I was going to say I had a counselor in high school who he himself is a professor, and he tried really hard to talk me out of it.
That's kind of sad when teachers have to talk kids out of being their chosen profession.
Right, right. And, I tell that to my own students now, and I think it's awesome when they tell me they want to be a teacher, but a little piece of me has a little bit of reserve and nervousness for them, knowing that, in Oklahoma, it's really hard to support a family on a teacher salary alone. So there are some reservations there.
So, Anna, we have you the entire hour, and I really want to thank you for sharing, and I want to hear more about your personal story in just more in the later half, but chime in when you want. Randy Weingarten has joined us, the president of the American Federation of Teachers. So, President Weingarten,
hey,
welcome
Anna.
To the Inside Scoop. Thanks for coming on and joining us. Let me
it's
ask you this.
It's great to be with you, and it's great to be with Anna.
Yes, it is.
Hey,
and
hello.
She was just telling us her story of how she got into teaching. I guess my question for you, Ms. Weingarten, is this is...
Randy.
Randy. Okay, I'll call you Randy. It's easier anyway. this is sort of a bonfire. I mean, it began in West Virginia, and now it's spreading from state to state to state. What? Let me start, and I'll get to Oklahoma's experience with Ms. Graven in just a second. But what caused the beginning, I guess, of the teachers' movement in West Virginia, and then why is it spreading from state to state?
Right. So, you know, this is actually what's remarkable about this, that these kind of protests and fightbacks have gone on for a long time in the country. But, you know, you saw it in Chicago in 2012, in New York just this year, we fought and got $1 billion more in school aid. You saw in Baltimore teachers walking out because of heat issues. You saw even in Acacia High School people walking out because of issues around no water. You've seen what's going on in terms of kids and their teachers in Florida. But the difference in terms of West Virginia, Oklahoma, now Arizona, and we're waiting for what their vote is going to be in Kentucky, is that these are all states with very weak labor laws that they have been, for at least for the public sector. And they're also states where there's been, for the last decade, since the fiscal crises of, you know, of the last recession, that they've made choices to have tax cuts for the rich, or for, you know, as Anna could tell you, you know, the oil and gas industry has gotten every tax cut plus more at the expense of children and educators. And there hasn't, and despite what people have done, the legislators have ignored or disparaged them. That's what makes this remarkable and awe-inspiring, because the teachers,
it is awe-inspiring.
After great deprivation, said enough is enough.
I guess my question is this: what? How did they do it?
That risk.
I'm just wondering how they did it, because West Virginia is not New York or Chicago, where you have a Democratic legislature that's more likely to listen to their concerns.
Exactly.
West Virginia, Kentucky, Oklahoma, these are very, very red states, where the Democrats don't even have a third of the legislature.
Exactly. So what they did, Mark, is that, you know, you need both mobilization and organization. And teachers in West Virginia, basically, over a snowstorm, started talking to each other, cross-union, independent teachers, bus drivers, started talking to each other over Facebook and saying, this is horrible that, you know, we want to teach, and we're actually making less money today than we were in 2012 because of increased health insurance costs. And it went viral, and teachers kept talking to each other and saying, wait a second, I feel the same way. Wait a second, I feel the same way. And it went cross-county, and it won. And what happened was that the union started saying to themselves, and there was real debate about it, but many of us, myself included, said, you got to go with this. If people are willing to fight, you got to take the risk to do this. And so then those conversations went from Facebook to meetings in counties, and superintendents and parents and school boards helped and supported. And then it became a couple of day walkout in front of schools, and then it became the big walkout in Charleston. But it started on Facebook, and the organization kind of caught up with the mobilization.
That's interesting.
But then it
shared
push.
The teachers themselves started this bonfire. I mean, just talking amongst themselves, and then the union caught up
Absolutely.
With the teachers, and then the strike. And now, I can't recall before this year a massive teacher strike in the recent times. The ones you talk about before, Chicago, New York, those weren't strikes, right? They were demands.
No, Chicago was a strike in 2012.
2012. Okay, that's still 6 years ago.
Yeah. But no, you're absolutely right. There's been, but what we've seen is Baltimore just had a walkout because of heat this year. And I do think that there's a difference in terms of an environment right now, that people feel that they have the will, that things have gotten so desperate, as Anna can tell you, that there's been a combination of of feeling deprivation and having the will to fight. But that will has to come from the rank and file, because, you know, there are consequences to all of these things. And if people don't feel a broad-based sense of a willingness to fight, then it's not going to be successful. That was what was so amazing. It got catalytic in both West Virginia and in Oklahoma, because people relied on each other and then saw that in collective action, there was power. But the collective action became the human shield at the Capitol, because they didn't have collective bargaining in a way that could change these things.
So Randy, you mentioned that in West Virginia, the teachers actually had less take-home pay. And this isn't like corrected for inflation, just real less take-home pay today.
Yeah. Correcting for inflation.
Yeah,
this
that
was
6 years ago.
Less take-home pay in actual dollars from 2012 because of the hikes in insurance and health insurance premiums.
Anna, tell me what happened in Oklahoma. How's your pay gone over the last 12 years and benefits?
I would say, you know, generally the same as what she's talking about with West Virginia. I mean, we have not received the pay raise, and our insurance has gone up dramatically. I have three boys on my insurance, and sometimes I laugh to my husband. I'm like, I think I'm working for insurance and daycare, because, you know, by the time both of those things happen, you know, I have some gas money. So,
and Oklahoma, like West Virginia, Kentucky, these are some of the lowest paid teachers in the country. What is it about Oklahoma?
Absolutely. And then,
go ahead.
You don't even factor in, Mark, that many teachers have student debt loans.
That's true.
So what Anna's saying is, you know, people are basically paying for their insurance, they're paying for childcare, or they're paying for their student debt. The average student debt for teachers in America is about $17,000.
So, Anna, you're from Oklahoma. You've been there for generations. What is it about your state that you think, I want to put this nicely, let's just say, doesn't value teachers or doesn't reward teachers as well as other states?
You know, I think it goes back to the level of people's education in Oklahoma. Unfortunately, we are fairly low as far as, you know, people who even earn degrees. And, you know, I think it's just kind of historically been the way it is. And that's what I hope that this movement will, you know, I don't think a lot of Oklahomans feel that way. I think we kind of are in a rut in Oklahoma. You know, I do see, it seems as if there is a trend, at least in, among younger people like myself, as far as, you know, that have children of their own, and seeing that, you know, education is important, and we know we are going to have to possibly pay some more taxes, but absolutely having the, you know, oil and gas industry do their share of that too. But
having all that oil and gas, I'd rather they contribute to teachers than having the teachers contribute to oil and gas. That seems a little backwards. We got to take a quick break. I do want to say, though, and we're going to get back to Anna Graven and Randy Weingartner in just a second, but that they just scored a tremendous victory. On Monday of this week, the teachers went back to work in Oklahoma, having achieved a $6,000 pay raise on average. We'll get to some of those details when we come back. If you want to join in the conversation, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Feel free to call in. We'll be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. In Charleston, West Virginia, in Frankfort, Kentucky, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Phoenix, Arizona, and now Denver, Colorado, the images are truly a sight to see. State houses filled wall to wall with hundreds, probably thousands of teachers on strike for higher pay raises. One state is interesting, two, maybe a trend, three, four, five, that's definitely a movement. We only have the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, here in another couple minutes. But so let me ask you, Randy, this does seem to be a movement. Is this going to all 50 states? Where do we go from here?
Well, you know what? I think, Mark, that this makes the elections that much more meaningful, because like Anna will tell you, they have now moved to a Remember November strategy in the Oklahoma Federation of Teachers. And in fact, when people went back, the Federation and the administration worked to have a delegation that was constantly at the Capitol. But at this point, this is now about, are we going to elect people in state houses and in Congress that actually are about helping people have a better life, including focusing on investment in public schools, as well as focusing on health insurance and, you know, the conditions for people to have higher wages. And that is what people are fighting for, and not to allow the kind of right-wing playbook that just wedges people against each other. And then, like Oklahoma tried to do when the teacher said, look, yes, of course we need an increase in salary, but you're not going to do it at the expense of our students. We need both.
So I got to tell you, as a state legislator, I am heartened by the fact that y'all are marching in state capitals and not just in Washington. After all, state capitals generally determine teacher salaries, and a lot of Americans don't focus on their state capitals. But you've gotten some pushback. The Kentucky governor suggested that the teacher strike could somehow lead to child abuse. I'm not sure how his logic works there. And there are definitely legislators that aren't used to seeing you march on their state capitals. How are you weathering the storm? Let me ask this to Randy.
The governor in Kentucky was out of his mind. I mean, how dare he suggest that people not being in their schools, even though they were making sure that their kids were okay, would be responsible for that. But it tells you what's actually in his heart when, you know, in a stressful position, he would utter that. It just shows a disrespect. And I think what happens is, you know, some of us are very Gandhian about it, which is that when you take action, you're going to get insulted. And the teachers in Oklahoma, you know, were called extortionists by some of those legislators. And I said, hey, there's another E word. They're exceptional and they're exploited. They're not extortionists. But what's happened is that when you say truth to power, you're going to get some pushback. But what has been overwhelming, just like you saw, Mark, in Virginia.
Absolutely.
You saw those delegate races this year. What's overwhelming is that people want a better life for their families, for their kids.
Yeah, we're coming up on a hard break. Thank you, President Randy Weingarten, and congratulations to you on success in states where people never thought this could happen, states like Oklahoma and West Virginia. We'll be back with Ms. Andy Graven, a teacher in Oklahoma City, right after the break.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Across the country are rising up. It began in Charleston, West Virginia, and has spread like wildfire to Kentucky, to Oklahoma, to Arizona, to Colorado. On the line with me is Anna Graven. She is a English teacher to 11th grade students in their junior year of high school. She teaches American literature in Oklahoma City. She's done it for 12 years. She's a native Oklahoman. Anna, I want to ask you, you know, you began teaching 12 years ago. Has the situation gotten worse over 12 years? Is it about the same? Did you feel unappreciated? What led you to, I mean, I don't think you've ever had participated in a strike before, right?
Yeah.
So what was it that caused you to, this time, 12 years later, actually get out and go on strike?
So I've actually been teaching for 18 years. 12 years in our district here in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
I've seen actually a longer span of time there in Oklahoma in education. What I feel like is different, first of all, you know, strike is not the right word. It's walkout.
Okay.
Because what it was, and everyone needs to understand too, is that we had the approval and the permission from our district to please go and bring this to the attention of the public.
Wow.
Because And I mean, that was, and every, we figured all of this out with our districts. We sat down with our board, our school boards, and they said, yes, we need you guys to advocate for us. Please go and do it. And so it's not as if we just walked out of the building and we're like, you know, you guys figure it out. We had meals in place for our kids. We had daycare in place for our kids.
Really?
I mean, it was a huge undertaking on all of our community members. I mean, and we had a ton of community support. So it was really a positive thing. You know, I don't know if I mentioned yet, but, you know, I felt like in some ways, you know, maybe the battle wasn't won at the Capitol all the way, but the battle, I think, as far as in the public eye, I feel like we're going to see really a tide-changing turn in Oklahoma where hopefully, you know, we can, through this movement, really bring people's eye to or their attention to, you know, the gross underfunding, not just of education, but of other things, too, that our state really needs.
So Oklahoma is a famously red state. Also famously, every single county in Oklahoma voted for Donald Trump, including, you know, big cities like Oklahoma City, the capital, and, mm-hmm. and I think the largest city in the state, if I'm not wrong.
It is, yeah.
And yet, even your city went for Donald Trump. Again, 18 years, you've gotten, I presume, low pay all that time. What was the trigger, do you think, that caused this walkout and this success that hadn't happened 18 years ago?
I think we've gotten to the point where it is really so bad that teachers and in schools are just they're in a corner and we don't know what else to do. And so, you know, we've asked for help. I mean, I did Teacher Tuesday before we even did the walkout. I went to legislators and asked that we need funding. Here's why. And, you know, gave them all of my examples. But I'm just going to tell you, even the last 5 years, I mean, huge differences in the amount of funding that has been cut. In Oklahoma, 1 in 5 schools are only having 4-day school week.
Really?
They cannot afford to have that fifth day.
Wow.
And that's got to be impacting. I mean, I work in a bigger city where we're not doing that, but it's those little rural communities that, I mean, it's really
so
to the point
actually,
where we just had to do it.
Were they actually cutting education spending? I mean, not just leaving it the same and not increasing it, but actually cutting it year to year?
Yes, absolutely. Oklahoma, I think we were at the very top of the budget cuts for education. And what I'm concerned about, too, is that if we don't turn this around, like, even though we got the win with, you know, some funding pieces for education and the salary increase, next year alone, we're looking at a $12.6 million shortfall in the budget for education. But the year after that, it's a $115 million shortfall in the budget for education.
Here's what I don't understand. Either you or Randy Weingarten mentioned the fact that Oklahoma is – kind of unique. I mean, unlike West Virginia or Kentucky or Arizona or Colorado, you bring in a ton of oil and gas revenue just because of your state and where it is. That's a benefit that other states don't have. Is none of this money being taxed and used to fund education? Where's it going?
So absolutely, some of it is being taxed. If I said that, I would be lying. But you also need to realize Oklahoma has the biggest tax breaks for oil and gas in the union. Hmm. So they have the best deal here in Oklahoma.
It's not like they can move elsewhere. I mean, I don't understand it, right?
The
wells are
where
they are. Well, I mean, I understand people, I don't love it, but I understand people giving tax breaks to Amazon to come to your place. I get that. But you don't have to give a tax break if there's an oil well in Oklahoma. They can't leave Oklahoma. I don't get it.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, and that to me is maybe some corruption, at some point in our government where why would they always get these breaks? And why is it we're not investing in our future with our kids with that money that they're making? So absolutely, you know, there needs to be, I feel like even more, accountability or taxes on oil and gas for Oklahoma. I mean, and they're also depleting our environment while we're at it. So,
right.
You know, we have to think about that as Oklahomans. What are we going to be left with? When they're done, what are we going to be left with?
I understand that the fracking is actually causing earthquakes as well in Oklahoma used to have before.
That's all a scientific debatable thing, but all I know is there weren't earthquakes like this when I was younger.
Exactly.
And it's not old.
Like you're on a fault line. It's not like you're on the San Andreas fault. Let me ask you this. One of the things that you fought for was not just teacher salaries, but increase in pay raises for support staff, cafeteria workers, bus drivers that you also won. Congratulations. You also secured, at least according to ABC News, $70 million in recurring revenue for classroom supplies. And I assume that's because all these teachers are going and buying their own textbooks for kids or supplies.
I mean, well, there's just so many. Yeah, there's so many ways that teachers are absolutely using their own money. But I would say that those numbers are actually a little skewed because, like, part of those taxes, for example, we're getting this year or the next year, not this year, but next year they would be using cigarettes. Every package of cigarettes is a dollar is going to education. But after that year, it goes to health care. Same thing with the gas tax. Gas tax is going to be for this year, and then after that it would go or the next, I say this year, I mean next occurring tax year. But after that it's going to roads. So that's why I'm saying the shortfall, that's what I'm worried about. You know, this is absolutely not over. So,
does Oklahoma have Medicaid expansion?
Do we have? No, we did not opt to get any government help with our.
And we're doing this in Virginia, by the way. We're still fighting over the budget. That's why our budget isn't done yet. I think we're going to get it. But in Virginia, at least, that's $400 million more dollars in our budget that can go to education. I mean, not to brag, but we've given pay raises to teachers every year I've been in office, at least 2% each year. And this Medicaid expansion will allow us to give a lot more. The money's already spent. It's coming in from the federal government. Do people realize that there's hundreds of millions of dollars just sitting there waiting to be grabbed that the Oklahoma legislature isn't taking?
You know, it's so frustrating. I don't know, and I don't get it. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I think happen. You know, one of the senators that I spoke to told me there was no funding problem in her constituents' areas, and she named all the little towns that she happened to be. Yeah, and what was funny is, you know, I grew up in Kingfisher, and I ran into some Kingfisher teachers. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad to see you here. I said, you know, I was told that you guys were fully funded and there was no reason for you to be at the Capitol. And they looked at me like I'd fallen on my head. And
you know what you need to do? You need to go with those teachers and march back into that senator's office and say, here, I've got some constituents of yours. Why don't you tell them what you told me, that they got all the funding they need? Because they might disagree with you.
Well, I told them because I was actually had to leave and go pick up my kids. But I told them, I said, please go talk to your senator right now.
Sure.
And clear that up.
So let me ask you this. Were you politically involved before all this? I mean, 18 years ago, 10 years ago, were you politically involved? Or is this something that has gotten you more involved over the course of your mistreatment, shall I say?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think a lot of – unfortunately, in Oklahoma – it says that teachers are the largest group of professionals that are not voting. That blew me out of the water.
Really? But you're educated. You should be the ones to vote. Do you think this movement will change and make teachers vote in a way they haven't before?
Absolutely. And there are more teachers running for office. There are more teachers, I think, having a voice as far as, you know, another thing I think we have to be really careful of, though, saying just because someone says that they are for education, you know, a lot of political campaigns run on that lovely catchphrase.
Yeah, they do.
We have
to
be
everyone.
Careful. And we have, you know, we have to be specific in people, like, you know, you can historically look at the way people vote for things that, you know, are passed in the House. Does it really show that they're for education? At that point, you know, you're being, I think, a better informed voter. And I don't think that has happened on the scale it needs
well,
to happen.
Well, I assume you're taking down names and writing down votes. You just got this big win, I guess, last week. Yeah. Was it unanimous? Was it close? What was the vote like? Was there tension? Tell me about the days leading up to this big vote. What happened?
Well, they said, oh, this is historical. We've never done this before. I mean, they were so glad to give themselves a pat on the back down the house.
Right.
And, you know, even the mayor tried to, you know, or sorry, mayor, governor, Mary Fallon, she's
right.
trying to act like she's, you know, this wonderful, you know, hero. And then literally the next week, it was like flip a switch, and we were just these evil bad people that just wanted more, and we're like, okay, we are so thankful for our pay raise, but we absolutely need our classrooms funded.
And
so
and you
have
did
more
get
work
the supplies. I mean, that's a big win too. I'm $70 million in classroom supplies. Do most teachers in your school buy supplies for their kids?
So when we say supplies, though, it's not just it is pencils, paper, things like that, and
textbooks.
Yes, every year. We go, and I'm going to tell you, I teach next door to a lady who goes and buys her AP books every year. And
how can the school not provide textbooks to kids? I mean, that seems like a really basic thing.
You would think, but I can tell you right now, I'm looking at the books in my room right now, and the textbook adoption was passed up because funding was cut, and we didn't have the money to replace the textbooks. So a lot of our textbooks are falling apart. They're older. Like the story of Blake Shelton's name being signed in one of his books back in the 80s and that still being used in the schools here. I mean, that's a real thing in Oklahoma. And it's not just textbooks, though. It's the lack of extra classes that can support kids, like an enhancement class if you're behind in English and you need some extra support. We're sorry, we don't have funding for that. I mean, that's just happened in the last couple of years. We're not able to, you know, as far as like foreign language in my school, we offer Spanish. That's it. There's Spanish. You can take Spanish. So, I mean, I just see there's so many impacts, you know, impactual things, especially like our curriculum classes. Like I said, the support for them, and then also like our fine arts, you know, our poor art teachers, you know, the supplies there are low, and sporting equipment.
I'm trying to figure out
examples of coaches buying.
Yeah, go ahead.
Coaches buying supplies, and I know our golf coach here, you know, he paid for the kids' green fees so they could practice after school. I mean, there's so many examples across the state. It'd blow your mind.
We got to take another break, Ann. But when we come back, I want to ask you about sort of the political will in Oklahoma. How many kids are in the public schools versus either private schools? Are the legislators not listening? Do they not have kids in these schools? Are they changing their minds? Is this something where this movement has actually made a big change for the future? Or do you think you're going to have to just keep fighting? We'll be right back. If you want to call, this is the time to take your calls. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just got about 5 minutes left talking with Ms. Anna Graven. She is an Oklahoma City English teacher who participated in the walkout that eventually led to the largest pay raise in state history for Oklahoma teachers of $6,100. That doesn't mean it's enough, given that Oklahoma is one of the lowest paying states in the country, but it is a tremendous victory. Ms. Graven, I wanted to ask you, what was it in your conversations with the legislators that they didn't get? Did they not have kids in the schools themselves? What did they not get, and I guess how did you change their minds?
I feel as if there was no changing their mind. I feel like the change is going to have to happen in November. They're staunchly to the point where they're protecting. I feel like there's a class of really rich taxpayers in Oklahoma that they're protecting, and also they're protecting the oil and gas. And I'm not sure if that's because they are really misinformed, because, you know, I've had some of them look at me and say, you know, poor oil and gas, they're just taxed to death. And then you go to the next guy and he's like, well, we need to tax wind. And, you know, everybody has their own agenda, and they say they work for their constituents. But, you know, I need some people that are going to work for Oklahoma and make decisions based best for what's Oklahoma.
Did you
and
flip
that's not
some
what's
of them?
Happening.
Did you change some of them to get this pay raise, or is this just the governor? Oh, something changed. I mean, you went on this walkout.
The pay raise happened right before we went on the walkout. The walkout happened for the funding.
Oh,
They literally passed. Yeah, they passed the
pay raise they couldn't fund.
Yes, they passed the pay raise that in a few years we're going to have to worry about being able to fund. Historically, like, that's what they kept saying. This is historic. You know, we actually got together and we made this decision, which I think is really disheartening. That has to be historic. But they were able to get together and make a decision, and it was the first time that they could do it with that many votes, with that many people on board, and it being a tax raise. And so that was historic. And then Governor Fallon signed it. Yeah.
What it is.
And so, but the concern is, and the reason that the teachers walked out was, it was for our schools, and it was for our students, because we need supplies, we need technology, we need better courses added to, you know, basically for students to be able to take more courses and different courses.
And one of the things that you worked out for, which I really appreciate, is for cafeteria workers and bus drivers, for support staff. I got to tell you, I think that's got to be one of the toughest jobs in the world, being a cafeteria worker in a school or a bus driver. I mean, the taunts of the kids and all, and it's a very low-paying job. So good for you for standing up for them as well.
Well, you know, and that's absolutely true, because, I mean, we know they help run our schools, and we can't do it without them. And if you saw what some of those support staff make, I mean,
it's
absolutely qualify for government assistance.
Yeah, and to have a government
it's
job
not a
where
living,
you need, it's not
it's
a living
not
wage.
It's not a living wage. It's just. It's really sad.
So we've got about a minute left. I just want to ask you, where do you see us going from here? Is the answer just to have everybody rise up in November and recognize that their local government votes too, not just national? What do you need people to do?
I need people to be really educated and look at the people that they're voting for. And, you know, just because they say they're for education, I think they need to be mindful of that and really look into the fact that, you know, how have you shown that you're for education?
Gotcha.
The other thing is that just that remember November, and here in Oklahoma, even that small
remember November. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Anna Graven, thank you for leading the way for all of us in the United States. This is Mark Levine.